Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to this Monday week trending episode of
Your Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Jack O'Brien. That is Mr. Miles Gray. Miles, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good, baby. It was nice to see you and everybody in person. Hang. We were in Las Vegas over the weekend at NBA Summer League, NBA Con. Shout out Steppen. And I believe Ali was your partner who you pulled up to. Pulled up at the NBA. We're like, oh, okay, sir. Good to see you. Anyway, yeah, it was good to see people out there. It's good to be in Las Vegas. It's nice to feel that desert heat on my already very dry skin.
Oh, man.
My lips are fucked up.
My already. I lost sleep from my lips being like cracking in my sleep. When I got back, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Just woke up like, ow.
Ouch.
Your wife's like, hey, stop licking your lips like a baby. Put some chapstick on. That's what Her Majesty kept saying to me. It's like, stop licking your lips and just go put some whatever on. I'm like, I don't know why I was being such
I think I need it now. Yeah.
Yeah, I need that shit. Anyway.
Yeah, there were parts of my skin that had that like white, webby, like, you know, ashiness over it.
You don't want that. Anyway, but that's not what this show is about.
Well, what this show is about is first off, let's give some overrated, underrated. You want to kick off? You want me to kick off?
Overrated, yes. Victor Wembanyama. We saw that first game.
Man, this guy stinks.
He only had 5 blocks in that first game. Like I said, you'll hear me say this many other places. I was expecting at least 15. I am putting out his second performance. Yeah, I'm putting out his second performance where he had a fantastic game of 27 points out of my mind. I'm just going off of just being a pure reactionary American sports fan who knows, who's just does not really consider all of the dynamics at work. Yes. But
yeah, this is the 7'4" Frenchman who came over, number one pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Looks like
the guy can't shoot, Jack.
he did not the shoot guy well even in dunk. His first game.
I felt bad. And I mean, I'm kind of joking here, but it was kind of fucked up to watch him. Like, it is wild. He walks into this arena, everyone just stops talking. Yeah. Like, I've never quite seen something like that. Usually in sports, people get like they're screaming. This was like, oh shit, what the fuck?
There he is. It's him. And he just seems like an 18-year-old kid. Like, he just genuinely seems like a child.
Yeah. Who's 7 foot, whatever.
Who is just getting used to being 7'4".
And shout out to him too. He was like, yeah, you probably won't see me do anything in the media for the next couple months, like until the season starts. Cause I just need to focus. Probably
smart.
All right.
What about related you? To that same game that we went to and just a number of the NBA events, free t-shirts, I think, are overrated because, man, people... Like, we saw Adele have fun with a t-shirt cannon.
Yeah,
There's something electric about a t-shirt cannon that gets you excited to be, you know, for the possibility of having something shot at you. I think we just need to like put the t-shirt cannon to better use because like people will go wild for anything coming out of that. Free t-shirts.
Oh yeah.
I've never caught the free t-shirt. I've been given free t-shirts or like gotten free t-shirts at like events where they were like giving them out.
Yeah.
They're never like prime good. Rotation t-shirt. They're not no. good t-shirts, but people will go wild for them.
You're basically getting a wearable poster.
Yes.
Like for an event that is not fashionable. You're wearing a marketing item, but it's the sheer fact that it's free.
Yes.
And I think what it does is like, I think it like maybe kind of recreates our like obsession with the lottery of like, here's this cool thing that will be shot out into the like world. And if you're the lucky one and you catch hold of it, you're the winner and everything could change because that's the energy people have when they're fucking like diving over each other for a free t-shirt that has a bunch of Kia sponsoring emblazoned on it.
And the power that you see on the faces of the like arena employees who come through with, even the ones who are just like throwing the free t-shirts into the crowd.
Yeah.
They're like pointing at people, then there's like waving cockiness. Them off. There is a power there that feels
I don't like it.
Unprecedented. Like, I feel like those people
like
are
it.
Peaking in that moment.
Oh,
like
they're
just gonna be trying to find
you know what
trying
it activates
to recreate
in me?
That moment.
It activates my toxic, like, oh, you're a tough guy, huh? kind of thing. Where I'm like, oh, so you think you got
you
it like
you're
that because
you're
throwing the t-shirts out?
But
because
they do.
I know what you're talking about. When they were there was one dude who when the t-shirt people came out, my man thought he was fucking Dr. Manhattan or some shit. Like I don't know what the fuck he like. I could feel his cockiness from the nosebleeds and I was like, nah, I'm not having this.
Yeah. I think I was also just jealous, more acutely aware of it and jealous because we were pretty high up. We were general admission, got there a little late. And
we're
so
like,
we were...
can you get him up here? He's like, sorry, no. I don't have the arm of a god. We're like, fuck you. You want this shirt anyway.
You sure seem to think you do. And then he like throws it to a kid down below. And I'm like, oh, what a cop out. It's so obvious. Yeah,
so
I don't
unfair.
Know.
Most unfair group.
Like, on one hand, it seems a little bit patronizing, but I do feel like if they were giving out like government benefits in this way and just like coming out with like some loud music and then like kind of running through the crowd and like pointing to people, you know, you'd see the government's popularity go through the roof.
True. Just launch it out of a t-shirt cannon or something.
Yeah.
Pneumatic cannons for everything.
Pneumatic cannons. I think the pneumatic is really like the showstopper. That
anything pneumatic is just feels like an even like I remember. Do you remember that MTV show Beach Blast? That was like that fucking obstacle course show.
No,
there was an air. I just remember being obsessed with this pneumatic air ramp they had that would just launch people fucking just tens of feet up in the air, and I was like. Oh, like
the lost art of pneumatics. Like,
yeah,
they used to be a feature at the bank. That was like a reason to go with your parents to the bank to like watch them use the pneumatic tube. I don't know. We've lost that.
What was it called? Sand Beach Blast, or maybe it was Sand Blast. Whatever. Fuck, that show was so good. Zach can't help me know what it was.
Yeah,
Beach.
Give us some ideas. If you've seen anybody distribute something via pneumatics, or if it's still happening somewhere,
Sandblast. That's what it was called.
Sandblast sounds.
Yeah,
that's a good.
1994 to 96. God, what the fuck was I? 10 to 12. I was anyway.
Well, my underrated is kind of on the same subject that we're already talking about, and Sandblast is appropriate because I think my underrated is Las Vegas.
Oh,
I don't know. This is my first time like being in Las Vegas and not being like mostly drunk for most of the time, and it is, and also like
how
aware
does it look with those eyes.
It's,
It's definitely, it's like poisonous and weird and like dark, but also like worth being at for, like worth spending 24 hours there to just like, I don't know, it's like a weird.
Specifically inside the arteries of the casino floors and
yes,
and shopping spaces yeah, of the yeah, the big hotels. Yeah,
it's just this like weird alternate universe where like everything's indoors, like the whole place is, feels like it's on life support.
Yeah,
it's this giant like interweaving biodome, except instead of like recreating a biome in the desert, it's just like cigarette smoke, like whatever they use to cover up the cigarette smoke, air conditioning, mall food court smells. It feels like it is the Cheesecake Factory menu of cities. It's mm-hmm, like you, it does feel, yeah, Super Producer Brian said it feels like a weird space station. That is accurate. Yeah,
I think when we were walking through, I was like, this is what it's going to be like when the climate becomes unlivable and we can't do anything outside anymore. And we yeah, have to just like live in these lit ass indoor spaces to be yeah, like, yeah, this can replace sunlight.
Yeah. And it's, like I was also like there's like a lot of families there. I wasn't like really aware that is a thing, but yeah, it's like it's kind of like a more like Disney World if they just like nobody was watching the
yeah
you
yeah
know?
Yeah like, it's, do whatever you want yeah, like yeah,
it's all
I
you
can smoke weed in here like I guess I mean
yeah
fine you can go ahead and you can gamble away your kids' life savings or I mean, college
the fact
funds
that
right
people
now
are
too
still smoking cigarettes indoors there is pretty wild like that kind of tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. For me, underrated, it's kind of dual-sided. First one is Gamblor, the evil spirit that takes over people when they want to gamble. That's a reference to The Simpsons when Marge was always at the casino. I haven't been to Vegas in maybe 6 years. Like, since we started the podcast, I have not been to Vegas. Yeah. And coming back, the way I like to have fun gambling. Yeah. Not all the time. But when I'm in Vegas, I'll indulge a little bit. And the way I immediately was like, what are we up to? We played roulette. Jack won so casually at the roulette table. It everyone, me, Jabari, Brian, we were like, what the fuck was that? I'm over here losing.
Sheepishly.
I lost a fucking like $100 in 3 seconds. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like chasing the numbers. I completely fucked up at the roulette table.
Yeah.
So obviously, shout out to Las Vegas and their ability to just kind of get your eyes all big with dollar signs. But the other underrated thing also I realized is watching 7,000 sporting events simultaneously.
Yo,
is
the sports book. Oh my God.
It's a disorienting but comforting experience at the same time when on the corner of your eye, you have like tennis and then up above there's like under 21 soccer, then a fucking UFC fight. It's just like wild to be able to kind of like fix your attention all around. And when you hear people cheering, you're like, wait, was it for the person that just got knocked out? Was it a baseball game? Whatever.
Yeah.
It felt like just like the Matrix of sports watching. So I got to say, having 3,000 screens, kind of fun.
Yeah. I definitely could see myself like the whole like Wall-E future dystopia where you're just like sitting in a floating chair and just yeah, having content like streamed into your brain like that.
That's it. The sports book felt like
I could see myself falling victim to that and just being like, yep, no, yep, this is how I want to pass my time.
Oh, also underrated buffets. I'll always say that.
Yeah.
I love a buffet.
Killed some buffets.
Where else can you have sausage and biscuits, a slice of prime rib, some melon?
You had a 2 prime rib day. I think we both did when
yeah,
we lived.
Prime rib twice. And Her Majesty was like, please don't be foolish out there, because she knows in my younger days, I used to get pretty fucked up in Vegas. No, yeah, but I've definitely, thank God for the personal growth on that end. But when she was like, just, you know, like, don't be stupid out there. I'm like, honestly, the riskiest thing I'm going to do is probably eat too much red meat.
Yeah.
And I followed through.
You followed through. All right. Should we get into a news story? For the people?
I don't know. I'd rather talk about prime rib, man.
Let's go. Let's just do prime rib. All right. So Threads hit over 100 million users within a week.
Yeah.
Definitely ahead of people's expectations, ahead of Elon Musk's expectations.
Ahead of Zuckerberg's even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem happy. Twitter seems unperturbed and totally like not worried about this. Oh, wait.
No. I mean, yeah. We talked last week that Elon had his lawyer send like a cease and desist thing. Like, you've been hiring Twitter ex employees and blah, blah, blah. And that's our proprietary this, that, and the other. Totally not a shook boy move. But then over the weekend, someone was like pointing out like Threads and Twitter and some of the similarities. And then he just tweeted, Zuck is a cuck. And
yeah.
Okay, then followed that up with, I'm not joking, this is verbatim what he tweeted, I propose a literal dick measuring contest with the ruler emoji.
Literal dick measure. Yeah. Sorry, I went Zuckerberg. That was Elon Musk. I don't know how to speak like Elon Musk.
Yeah, but it's some form of crying through a clenched smile or something. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, the way that tweeted, it felt like he was tweeting his thoughts in real time, where like he's seeing like how Threads is doing well. He's like, Zuck's a cuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then in his mind, it was, I bet I have a bigger dick than him. Okay.
All right, man.
Yeah, that'll solve the issue about downloads on a fucking app. Yeah, pull your dicks out. Okay, go ahead. Whatever. This is where we're at. It wasn't enough to fight and sweat all over each other. Now y'all want to pull peepees out and compare.
You're on Threads. You were sharing things with me in real time that I think in the past you would have shared me, like we would be showing each other things on Twitter. You were showing me things from Threads.
Yeah. Mostly Zeitgang's response to watching you play Twitch on the flight when I took a candid photo of you. They didn't.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe what they saw.
Yeah. I have an unorthodox style of holding the
Check
Twitch.
My Threads out. You can see some cool exclusive Jack Switch content. I'm not fucking around.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say? Like just the...
I don't know. Threads. I feel like I need to do some Threads pruning. I need to prune the Threads. I need to put together my follow list because, right now it just feels very much like, you know, Twitter still feels like, I don't know. I find like funnier jokes there. Threads, the people I follow on Threads, I think because it's like Instagram, still feels like people are trying to like build their brand a little bit more. Like there's something more of like people are watching on Threads, whereas on Twitter, people are just posting their thoughts, you know, like Elon following Dear Leader, just posting their thoughts in real time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is worth pointing out, like you say, like there are definitely clear vibrational differences on Threads and Twitter. You know what I mean? Like for me personally, Instagram is a little bit more because it is a Facebook product. I follow a lot of people like from my like personal life, like people I went to school with, like from way back and be like, oh shit, look at their, like, cause that's for me the place now. If you're going to post pictures of your family and shit, do it on Instagram. Cause I don't want to hear about it. I think maybe what it's going to do, it's going to actually bring the worst part of Facebook and make it Twitter, where like I'm not on Facebook because I don't want to hear the ramblings of people whose opinions I don't respect.
Yeah.
Because I'm just kind of there because of a loose affiliation. Whereas Twitter, it's more like content I'm seeking out.
Yeah.
So I think, it just feels a little bland. Other comedians definitely having a good time on there, but it doesn't have that Wild West feel of Twitter because I think on some level people know it's like my mom might see this or like, you know, like my aunt doesn't know I'm a fucking like wild fucking, you know, this, that, or the other. Elon described, he had this, he compared it to this about why Twitter's better than Threads. He said, quote, it is infinitely preferable to be attacked by strangers on Twitter than indulge in the false happiness of hide the pain Instagram.
Mm.
Which, you know, it's a weird way to put it, but kind of.
It's also weird that his, like, thing that he surfaces about over Twitter is
his abuse.
Yeah. Is abuse. I can't tell if it's like I just haven't added all the funny people I follow on Twitter or they're not on Threads or if social media networks have to like go through a life cycle that is just Twitter. Like this feels like Twitter, early days Twitter, like when I first started using it. And I think that's probably based on just I hadn't like really gotten my follow list where it needs to be.
Yeah. I've been surprised of seeing like former classmates like from like middle school like on Threads like say stuff and I'm like, oh shit, that's where you're at right now? Okay, I'll follow. Forgot about that part.
And they're looking at yours and being like, oh, you're hanging out with somebody who doesn't know how to hold a Twitch?
right?
Or doesn't know how to hold a
the Switch. Fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah,
but yeah, I will say, I don't know. I could also see Threads just falling off a cliff in like 2 months if people get bored.
Yeah,
you sure. know what I mean? Because I think part of a lot of people are like, "Wow, Zuckerberg's done it," and you know how he completely went like switched it around from getting made fun of about the metaverse and all that shit to now being like, "Oh shit, yeah, you kind of stomping out Elon Musk at the you know social media platform game." But I think part of that whole Threads, their rise is completely linked to everyone just fucking hating Elon Musk.
Yeah, just quitting Twitter. And
so, Elon, you can take that. It might not be because the actual platform is better. It's because they fucking hate you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's also the nice fact that on Twitter now you can like easily just scroll past anybody with a blue check mark next to their name. Mm-hmm. That's actually become a useful way to just be like, oh, this is just bullshit.
And I yeah. can
block this person. So a helpful broken product on Twitter. But we'll see. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more stories.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And in the world of AI, Sarah Silverman...
I just saw someone on Threads. It exactly reminds you why I don't want to be... Like, this one person I used to work with just said, "I'm ready for Prime Day, Birdman hand rub," in parentheticals. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Threads is like either there. People just being like, "Hey, do you guys like pizza?" Or people...
I'm or ready people for Prime
talking
Day.
Talking about like Threads Unfollow. Versus Twitter. Yeah.
And sorry. Then,
yeah, I like have the New York, like a lot of New York Times tweets and just, yeah, I think it's just, I haven't done a good enough job of, it's back where I was, where my media intake was back when I was using.
Yeah, Facebook. You just got to get the thumb active and just start unfollowing. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
But make sure you follow us, you know, don't know what I'll be posting, but I'll be posting some shit on there.
Yeah. All right. Sarah Silverman, yeah. Other authors are suing ChatGPT.
Yeah. It's been a thing, man. It's we saw with Getty Images, we saw a lawsuit come from them where they're talking about how generative, like a lot of these You know, these generative AIs are using copyrighted material to then create these new images or products or text or whatever. So Sarah Silverman, along with authors Richard Kadrey and Christopher Golden, who did Ararat, they are suing OpenAI and Meta for copyright infringement. And their suit alleges that the companies illegally used their works as basically part of data sets that trained these AIs. So for the OpenAI ChatGPT suit, their evidence was showing that when prompted, ChatGPT would summarize their books, which infringes on their copyrights. And they say that the chatbot never bothered to, quote, reproduce any of the copyright management information plaintiffs included with their published works.
Which would just make ChatGPT worse, like a worse product if you had to like get a bunch of
Exactly.
It makes sense. They are just stealing content, but that is also basically what the internet does, right?
Yeah. But it's like, but we have to feed it something, and it's just stuff that already exists. And in a way, that is how the human mind works. Right. But again, like, and it's specifically to Meta and their like Llama models, as they call their like open AI or whatever their AI models. They're basically saying that, like, you guys have even said that the data sets that you're using, that Meta's using to train these AIs, are like using these existing databases of printed materials or of copywritten materials, that they're using that to train the AI. And because their books have been included in those data sets, they're saying, well, no, do not. You're using our works illegally.
Right.
So it's a very complicated thing. And I mean, these lawsuits are going to have potentially huge ramifications over what even the definition of a copyright is.
Right.
So this, I'm right now, these people are suing for damages and loss of profits, etc. But I don't think there's any reason to think that these lawsuits are going to stop at this point, because it, like, on one end, as a creative person, you're like, I can't, like, my work can't just be used willy nilly for this AI. But then again, how do we differentiate all these things? I mean, I'm not on the side of being like, yeah, let them take your shit. But it'll be interesting how this is adjudicated and what that means going forward. If like you have to license something to have that used as part of like a learning data set for AI or some shit. I don't know.
The whole thing's fucking feels above me and like crazy. And like, I don't know. I feel like we've already hit the singularity in terms of my ability to even like kind of understand what's going on, but it definitely feels bad for people trying to create content in the world.
But I mean, I'm not playing devil's advocate by any stretch of the imagination, but all of our creative works are informed by previous creative works
for sure.
On some level, whether some people are cynically just copying shit or people are influential on people's own their own artistic aesthetic formation. Or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so at that point, where do we, I mean, I'm not saying that these AIs need the rights of people, but then how do we kind of define it all? Because on some level you can tell that, like, does Jay Dilla exist without DJ Premier, without, you know, the original DJs that were sampling things, and like, who, you know what I mean? Like, everything builds on each other. And there was like a book I remember like many years ago, it's called How to Steal Like an Artist. And it was just basically talking about how it's really like, we've seen many TED Talks and stuff like this about how it's all of our ideas are just formed off of the backs of these other ones.
Yeah.
So on that level, there's no need to think of like, why don't I have anything original to do? But just know that we're just part of this like constant evolution of ideas.
The AI also ingested that book many years ago.
Exactly. It's like, I will steal like an AI.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, that bums me out to like, because that argument is definitely coming. Like, well, what's the difference between what this AI does and what you guys do? And it's like, well, that is a product that is just feeding money into your like bottom line as a corporation. Exactly.
You're cynically creating something that has the potential to devastate like other human beings, their own artistic endeavors. Whereas this other thing is just our own human right to like exist, live, ingest ideas, and then express new ones.
Yeah.
God, I mean, where's that like lawsuit where like the fucking AI is like wearing a tie at the fucking Supreme Court and shit.
Yeah. But I mean, the like AI is the big thing that everybody's investing in on Wall Street. So
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of smart people be like, it's just the latest like scam and it's not going to be able to follow through on this shit. But, you know, Wall Street, who has never been fooled before by anything, seems to think
metaverse.
All right. More undisclosed Clarence Thomas gifts just dropped. So big news.
Clancy.
Yeah. The New York Times is doing some digging. So it's not just a personal vendetta by ProPublica, as Clarence Thomas and Harlan Crow seem to think it was.
Yeah, exactly.
The New York Times is getting in on the action to be like, that people might want to know that this dude just parties with billionaires and, you know, corporate heads and then rules in their favor constantly.
I mean, what the... they're just hospitality between
friends. His friend.
Yeah. This is wild. So... we got to just start calling him Fancy Clancy. But yeah, he turns out, man, this guy, it wasn't just Harlan Crow. Like, Clarence Thomas has been getting hooked up since even before he was in the fucking Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So the second that he was put on the bench of the Supreme Court, he was invited to join this group called the Horatio Alger Association of Distinguished Americans.
Right. Horatio Alger being the character that was like the pull your bootstraps up novel exactly. protagonist from like the early, turn of the century, and is one of the most formative people for like kind of the toxic American ideal of just like, well, you don't 100% need help. Like, look at this. Horatio Alger is a poor person who made himself rich by just pulling himself up by his bootstraps.
And now we're distinguished. Look at us. Yeah. And they build themselves as a scholarship organization or whatever, but it's just a place where they're like really connected conservatives all hang out. And, you know, we have instant access now to a Supreme Court justice. They talked about how he got vacations, VIP tickets to sporting events, went to lavish fucking parties with Ed McMahon and Oprah. You know what I mean? Real A-list type shit.
What's Oprah doing?
What do you mean?
I guess she's just being a billionaire.
She's not. Oprah left the building. You know, when you're that rich, that rich in general, you have left the building completely.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm just saying, like, what's she doing with Ed McMahon? I'm shipping those two. I love that couple.
Ed McMahon is dead, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, I think you're shipping
dead
them
in my brain like decades before he died. So, I think that's probably he just die? Exists in a hyper reality for me.
Oh, he died in 2009. I don't know why in my mind I was like, he died back in like 2016 or something. Yeah. Wasn't even that wave of terrible losses in 2016. Anyway,
the worst Mandela effect. We just came up with it. I thought Ed McMahon died in 2016.
He hadn't reported any of these. A lot of people point to the fact that after 2004, when the LA Times pointed out a lot of shit that he was like slipping on, he just stopped reporting shit in general. So for like 19 years, he's just like, fuck it. Like, I'm not even gonna let you guys, I'm not even gonna give you guys crumbs to look at. But the other thing that came out, like I said, a lot of these favors were happening before he got on the Supreme Court. They found one vacation where a buddy paid for a vacation in the Bahamas. And then also a friend paid for his 1987 wedding reception.
Wow. He just didn't pay for anything life. Yeah.
Like, he's basically what social media influencers do, except he was doing it early and he was a Supreme Court justice and it's all SponCon.
Yeah.
It's all sponsored content that I do. It's all the cool stuff I get. to mention.
You should have to like put a hashtag at the beginning of his hashtag, Supreme Court ruling.
If he's writing the majority opinion, hashtag ad, but we are siding with, fucking Berkshire Hathaway on this one, because the homie had me at his ranch in Montana. It's actually really beautiful. Hashtag ad.
Yeah.
But
I think one of the creepier revelations is that some of his friends from Horatio Alger helped pay for a documentary about him made specifically as like a rebuttal following the HBO movie about Anita Hill starring Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
That came out in like 2020, I think. It was fairly recent.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a 2-hour infomercial for him and in which he compares himself to the falsely accused Tom Robinson in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. That's
I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Truly like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Why isn't he calling himself Boo Radley, though?
Right.
I think he's more Boo Radley. Like, yeah. That makes more, he's like, they got the wrong idea about me, man.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they don't have the wrong idea. I'm pretty fucked
Turns
up.
Turns out incorrect.
I'm a pretty fucked up character the whole time.
All right. Quick box office update. According to an ad I saw on Twitter, Sound of Freedom was the number one movie at the is America's number one movie at the box office. So they are, you know, you guys talked about how it was the number one movie at the box office on July 4th.
Just one day,
for one day, which they like made it seem like it was their target audience's patriotic duty to go see the movie on July 4th. But the rest of the weekend, it did not. It was like somewhere in the top five, which they're claiming as a victory, but did not beat Indiana Jones Insidious.
On July the 4th.
That's right. What we did with Patriots, who instead of like barbecuing or, you know, doing what they would have been doing on July 4th, actually went to the movies.
And again, until I see who is the source of those ticket sales, I'm filing this under so dubious, I'm going to smoke it as a doobie, okay? Because we knew that the whole reason they got there was basically doing the New York Times bestseller list shit, where you could buy as many tickets as you wanted to gift them to someone who you wanted to see the film. Right. So we have no idea how many motherfuckers actually saw this shit with their own eyes. We just know how much money has been passed in the form of quote-unquote ticket sales that gets it there. But yeah, I mean, like,
it definitely seems to be making a impact for this type of movie, but it's also like, and it's funny how like close it is in a lot of ways to American Sniper, which was also like kind of a right wing movie that was based on the grift of like somebody who was constantly exaggerating and like made himself into an action hero in people's minds.
So was that guy like a big liar? The guy
Sniper?
That Bradley Cooper played. I remember that. Like, I remember years ago, people were like, "Yeah, that guy was full of shit." But was he just like grossly exaggerating everything?
Yeah, grossly exaggerating, and it's not a in any way based on fact movie that draws most of its power from the idea that it's based on fact.
Well, because the film itself like felt like this weird like Islamophobic fever dream.
Yeah,
I mean, so oh, okay, well. This one is just as equally untethered from reality. So
yeah,
have fun.
He goes on like rescue missions that like with camera crews, and they're like based on a tip from a Utah psychic, as you guys mentioned at the end of last week, which pretty
wild. Bridger, for the record, did not know that psychic, even though Bridger's from Utah.
Yeah.
I pressed him, but couldn't get
it. If that psychic was worth a damn, you know that Bridger would have known about it. Let's take one more break and we will be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And so the Ron DeSantis train seems to be slowing down. He was kind of the anointed for Fox News. Fox was like, this is our guy, it seemed like. For most of the campaign, and they seem to be switching gears and have suddenly started crapping all over DeSantis. And in this case, he was on Fox News twice, and in both cases,
they're bullying him,
bullying me. So first, he appeared on the network on Thursday for an interview with Will Cain, and he was confronted with his terrible poll numbers and totally like just didn't he looked like a middle schooler being broken up with for the first time. He was just like, wait, what?
The line of questioning too is just like, so why do you basically distilled down to like, so you suck pretty bad, huh? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah,
here, let's just hear this exchange, because it is pretty disheartening.
There's something about you that's not connecting for whatever reason. Not connecting with the voter, whether or not it be personality. Donald Trump says it's about loyalty. Francis Suarez says it's about your relationships. And it's not about those individuals so much. As I'm curious in the analysis of Ron DeSantis of why not yet is connecting.
Blink, blink,
well,
blink.
I think, did you just see the news today about the record fundraising haul we've had? Nobody's been able to match that in the history of modern presidential politics. So we've got a huge amount of support to be able to take the case to the people. We really haven't started that yet.
Oh,
so first, we aren't trying yet.
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't even trying. Oh, you thought that was my campaign when I announced my campaign?
So no. You heard the amazing news that we just shattered a fundraising ring. Fuck you, Will.
Yeah. He squeezed like 13 blinks in between the end of the sentence and the beginning.
Well, his computer
the end
had
of the
to
question
recalibrate.
The beginning of his answer.
Yeah. Blink, I blink, don't blink, again it the distillation of that is, so you're creeping people out. Donald Trump says because you a fucking snake. Other people say because you creep them out.
Yeah.
We want to know why you think you're fucking up. That whole thing is like, well, I haven't even charted yet.
Yeah. It does feel like my read on it is that it's really the same as the Mueller and Jared Kushner thing, where like everybody had heard of him and seen him in headlines, and then they heard him speak and like saw him move and saw him interact with other humans,
right?
And it was like, oh wait a second, like this dude, he's just like not, I don't know.
In the full clip, I was watching like a longer segment of that when Will Cain was interviewing him. He starts off by like playing a clip of Ron DeSantis. Like he's like let's
look
check
at you
before it comes on.
And it's like, at you segment.
He's like, I don't know if you heard about this, but at the southern border you got people coming in from Tajikistan. It's not just people from South America. And I was thinking, wow, like it's the least like, and Will Cain comes back, he's like, so what the he's like, so you know, not the most compelling. That's what he basically said. And then he had him on.
Oh my god. Yeah, he's at the this you stage of all right, let's look at your performance here. And just it's like the post-game interview with an athlete who has just lost. Like, feels like the energy that they're giving him.
And then he came back for more.
Yeah. His explanation, in addition to like, I wasn't trying, he also blamed his poor numbers on the corporate media.
Yep.
And also the president of Mexico.
There you go.
There it is.
Yep.
He said, well, I think if you look at the people like the corporate media, who are they going after? Who do they not want to be the nominee? They're going after me. Who's the president of Mexico attacking because he knows who will be strong on the border and hold him accountable and the cartels? He's going after me. Because Republican voters usually check for, I think it goes like Drudge first and then Fox and then president of Mexico. Like what's he saying? What's his read on the situation?
Also, name the president of Mexico.
Right.
Bonus points.
It's also wild for him to claim that it's like the mainstream media is not on board because he's like, he is basically a fabrication of the mainstream media. Like
100% on the
front page of Time. Like, he is the Beto O'Rourke of the Republican.
Yeah.
This Republican primary.
And they're like, oh, wait, he's a robot guy.
Yeah.
It's wild, though, too, how this guy's he's losing points because of the lack of Riz.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Where have we come? How far have we fallen?
Yeah. And then he comes back for more. And you would think that he's like, okay, now I'll have like a different strategy, a different approach to the questions.
No.
But it seemed like his strategy was like, maybe they'll be nicer this time.
Yeah. So he went to Maria Bartiromo's show and she was also like, hey, bro, the fuck is going on with you?
I'm wondering what's going on with your campaign. There was a lot of optimism about you running for president earlier in the year. But here's this weekend's headline from the Politico playbook. Failure to launch. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' campaign to topple Donald Trump has stalled. We are way behind, says a top DeSantis PAC official sounding the alarm. What happened?
Oh, Maria, these are narratives. The media does not want me to be the nominee. I think that's very, very clear. Why? Because they know I'll beat Biden. But even more importantly, they know I will actually deliver on all these things.
Okay, just a couple things.
That laugh.
That laugh. First, okay, good transition to show you're not pressed at all. But I like that he's pointing to polling, right? That they're like, measurably, way behind.
Yeah.
Like, you're not having an effect on the conversation. And he's like, well, that's a narrative, not a measurement of something. And then goes on to say that he would beat Joe Biden. I'm not sure I've seen that. And then just continues to just, I think his new thing now is just to say, they don't like my numbers are bad because the media doesn't fucking want me to do well.
Right.
Which is clever, but doesn't even come close to explaining why you're not doing anything. It's not like you're being like completely vanished from the conversation. Like, people were actively giving him relevance to even get to this point. So then be like, they don't want that. They don't want it with Hove like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Ron. I don't know.
And then, yeah, I mean, and we talked about the fact that like he has the problem of he feels committed to going further right than Trump because he recognizes that's where the energy is, like especially at a local level. But also, like, his main argument that was causing all the mainstream media to like back him was that he was the more moderate, like the more sensible option. So he has a problem there. And then, as a Fox panelist said later in the day on Fox News, should we just play it?
Yeah, just so out on this guy. It's just so fucking wild.
Reform. Absolutely. Jonathan, just last word on this. What are Democrats going to be watching for in that debate?
How awful Ron DeSantis does. I think Ron DeSantis' biggest problem. Yeah, his biggest problem is people are getting to know him. And it turns out his record in Florida is kind of hurtful to a lot of people and hateful. And it's not resonating. He also, from every report, seems to be a weird guy with voters. And when you're in Iowa and New Hampshire, you have to talk one-on-one to them. And I don't think he does that really well. I think the person I'd be watching for is Tim Scott in those debates.
Anyway, he's just a fucking weird guy. You know?
I mean, that kind of sums it up. I feel like they, for a long time, were just like holding their tongue. Like, I guess we got to make this the guy. He's the guy, right? Like, he did good in Florida election. And now they're just like, all right, we can, this dude's weird, right?
Well, I see a few pieces too from like the never Trump kind of side of the Republican establishment is like, fuck, we got to cut our losses, dude. It ain't DeSantis. Like, we got to figure out who the fuck it can, who the Trump alternative even could be now, because DeSantis has completely broken apart upon reentry. So, yeah, he's just a weird guy. That's like, honest, I feel like that's one of the most fucked up things you can say. Like,
yeah.
Like, not even like his policies are backwards. And he's a proto-fascist. You can just be like, he's a fucking weird guy. And well, like that cuts, like, even no matter your political ideology, you go, oh, fuck, really? He's a weird guy?
Well, you can't, like, you can't strategically reconfigure your campaign from being a weird guy. Like, you can't be like, all right, I'll stop being a weird guy. Like,
can you imagine? Like, I would love, this feels like a comedy where he fires his campaign staff and brings in like new consultants and stuff to help with his image. And he like comes out like Frosted Tips or some shit next week. He's trying to do like taking a Guy Fieri thing.
His image back in the day when he was liking Sir Mixing a lot. Is that, did you see that?
No.
Yeah. There was like a high school yearbook picture.
Oh, no. Yeah. His yearbook quote. That's going viral. Oh, it's fake.
Oh, is it? Shit.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
Good to know. Damn, dude. This photo is real, though. That middle
part. The photo
part
of him. Yeah.
Oh.
His middle part high school days are pretty pretty intense.
This is so stupid. I just love how stupid the internet is giving him. This is the fake quote that was going viral. It's just so stupid. Ronald DeSantis. My Mount Rushmore is Jesus. Sir Mixes a lot. And Nintendo 64.
Sir Mixes a lot is great. All right. And also in Vegas over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised nobody's calling us out.
Only the best folks.
We were there too. But Mel Gibson and Donald Trump were spotted plotting to overthrow Hollywood, aka just chilling with Guy Fieri, because they were at the same UFC fight. But yeah, Mel Gibson was trending on Twitter because
they were
with Trump and Roger Stone.
Yeah. Just figuring it out. Just figuring it out. Just some ideas I got on how to completely take us back to the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Guy Fieri thing. Anna sent us a TikTok today about the pictures of Guy Fieri shaking hands with Trump with like, that's the day the music died.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he just respects the office, man.
Yeah. I feel like that is not surprising in the least bit for
Guy Fieri, he's truly like in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in that sense of like, because I think he has enough appeal to progressives because of his like LGBTQ stances and how outspoken he's been there. Yeah. And then just by being like the fucking spicy nachos guy on TV is enough to get conservatives on board. And then he'll be like, well, I'm not fucking Cornel West. I'm going to turn my back on the president.
Yeah.
And then just say, hello. Hey, I'm Guy. Good to meet you.
But according to right wing conspiracy theorists, this is because they're hatching some kind of elaborate plan that nothing can stop to expose all the pedophiles in Hollywood. And really, this is the Mel Gibson and Trump. And who better to weed out abusers in Hollywood than Mel Gibson?
He's probably telling the Trump, he's like, it takes a thief.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Breaking, President Trump holds meeting with Mel Gibson and Roger Stone after Sound of Freedom tops box office.
Now that's a narrative.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Apparently Mel Gibson's a big fan of The Sound of Freedom, even had input on its final edit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, wow.
I mean, makes good sense. He had like another one of the like successful right wing movie marketing campaigns where they basically made people think it was their duty to like go see The Passion of the Christ. So it makes sense to me that he's kind of plugged into this in some way. In reality, they were just at a reception at a UFC event, of course. Yeah.
Hey, Mark Wahlberg was also there.
Yeah.
Mark Joe Wahlberg. Rogan, yeah.
Guy Fieri.
Dude, that's a fucking crew.
That's my Mount Rushmore. sorry, Sir Mixes a lot. You've been bumped.
It's Guy Fieri, Mel Gibson, Roger Stone, Nintendo Twitch.
Yeah.
And Sir Mixes a lot.
But yeah, I mean, Gibson, we've seen where he stands on various things, but he, I guess, made headlines for saluting Trump at a fight 2 years ago. And it's not
shocking. Go back to Australia, Mel. Yeah. Get out of here, you Aussie piece of garbage.
Garbage. So, I don't know. We didn't see them. We were not there for this summit in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, we were at the sports book. Took some action on the Suns and on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
To win it all.
Win it all, baby. All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, July 10th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.